from the Carter Subaru Studios. This is the G and Ursula Show with G Scott and Ursula Wojtyn.
Good morning, happy Wednesday, and thank you for listening to the G and Ursula Show. Good. Nope. Ursula is out today. She's going to be out the rest of the week. But don't you worry. A familiar voice to Cairo Radio is going to be with me all week long. And he is a former co-host of mine. And if, for all of you that listen to Cairo Nights during those evenings, Aaron Mason joins us. Brother Mace, good morning.
Good morning, G. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Yes, sir.
Heather, Chef, Andrew, hello, everyone.
Yeah, G, I'm morning. Sitting
nice
right
to
next to Aaron.
Again.
This is so cool.
Man, Mace, it is so good to have you. You're in studio.
Yeah.
My bad. I didn't get the memo that I was supposed to be in studio.
Yeah, it's been so, I mean, come on. I know it's not Friday. You've been doing your Friday things, but
yeah. Come on, man. But you know what I'll do?
Huh.
I'll come in on Friday.
Oh, right. You make a big exception for me.
Yeah,
that feels so special.
Yeah. Heather, what's the weather the rest of the week? How are we looking?
Oh, Heather bounced.
Oh, she bounced.
Yeah,
all
she's right. on that well, breaking news.
Okay, you're breaking news. Yeah. Well, let's get to it. We got a lot to discuss. Let's get to Ursula's top five news stories of the day, brought to you by Economy Fence Center.
It is time for the masks to come off in King County, at least, with 70% of county residents 16 or older vaccinated. You will have the go-ahead to remove your masks as of June 29th. However, masks will still be required in most schools, healthcare settings, and private businesses will still be able to require them. Meanwhile, Washington is one of five states that are not fully reopened. And Governor Inslee says we're still sticking to the June 30th reopening date, regardless of whether we get to 70%. However, if we do, we will reopen before that time. G, your thoughts on the mask mandate?
Okay. My thoughts are is we're almost there. We basically are on a two-yard line. It's almost like you're getting ready to be released from incarceration. No, shout out to those that are incarcerated. I didn't mean to take a shot that way. But, I mean, you're almost finished. We're almost to the finish line. I'm fine. However, I do want to find something to complain about, okay? bear with me for a second. Here's what bothers me a little bit, because I had to find something to bother me. No, the mask stuff, whatever about that. But just the whole discrepancy between the federal and the state, right? The fact that the state goes off the 2020 count when it comes to the population in this state, and the federal goes off the 2019. What bothers me about that, Mace, is you mean to tell me you guys can't get on the same page with that?
Right.
You right. cannot get on. So if you can't get on the same page about the metrics in which you judge and make your decisions, what other things can you not get on the same page about? So that part, yeah. I had to find something to bother me. But outside of that, let me just say this. It's no big deal personally for me, mask or no mask, the mandate, but I am looking forward to the small businesses, the restaurants, if you will, being able to get up to full capacity, get everybody getting in there, more people being able to get back to normalcy. That is good news right there.
Yeah, I do like that. I've already seen a few places because there are mandates here and there, but I believe private businesses can still say you don't have to. If you don't want to, and that option still exists, but for me, it all depends on the individual private business. You know what I mean? Of course, you need masks in healthcare situations. Of course,
sure.
Like schools, that's smart. I know for me, if I ride mask transit, like I'll still wear a mask on the bus for the foreseeable future. No question. So I don't mind. It's good news that we're moving forward. That the light at the end of the tunnel is closer.
Sure.
Than it's ever been. Yeah, let's see it through. Here are the plan. You have to make plans to adjust to these kinds of things. Stick to the schedule. Here we are. We're almost there. The day's coming.
Let me ask you this.
Ooh.
Oh.
Ooh.
What?
Oh, no,
wow.
You go ahead.
Chef, wow.
I'm just quick on the gun today.
Why? Why is
he's
why
all excited. Lots of coffee. Lots of coffee.
You okay, Mace? I mean, excuse me. You okay, Chef?
I'm fantastic, G.
Man, you've never been that fast.
He's
on
eager.
The trigger.
He's
man.
Eager.
Anyways, what I wanted to say before we moved on, I wanted to just say this. Mace, Chef, do you guys kind of feel like the mask mandate being lifted is the same as you getting ready to get your braces off? If you've ever had braces before, you know what I'm talking about. Like, you're excited, but you're kind of nervous.
But yeah, but I was all amped for. I got my brace. I had braces in high school, and I got them taken off the day before my senior prom. So like, I got to go to prom and all those pictures and stuff without brace face. Got to smile real big, and that was nice. So that was only positives. Here, I'm still there are still situations where I'm a little wary about being around a bunch of people with no mask whatsoever.
Yeah. Can you do me a favor and like by tomorrow, by Thursday or Friday, can you get a picture of you in prom without the braces? I would love to post that to the Gene Ursula Facebook page. And plus, I want to see it myself.
I'm sure I can find some.
Yeah. One quick thing before we move on. I don't know if you're like me, but I've met a couple people in the last year that I realized I do not know what they look like without their mask off.
Dude.
One of my baseball coaches on the t-ball team I'm coaching saw him without a mask, and I was like, oh my gosh, you have a goatee?
Who's this guy? Yeah.
Would not have recognized him in a crowd.
Yeah.
All right, so a serious story here. King County has seen an increase of 650% in fentanyl-related deaths in the last 5 years. And one city is taking the step to charge dealers with homicide due to those deaths. Last week, Bellevue detectives arrested Trevin Blake Lane of Renton. He sold pills laced with fentanyl that were labeled oxycodone to a woman who overdosed in 2020. So 26-year-old Ariel Labaugh, she met Lane through an acquaintance. She bought 5 pills that she thought were oxycodone from him after exchanging some text messages. She died in her apartment after taking just 1.5 of them along with alcohol. So Lane is the second person in Bellevue who's been charged with substance abuse homicide this year. Mm. There were 8 fentanyl overdose in Bellevue over the course of that past year. So your thoughts on charging these folks with homicide?
It's rough. I mean, this could possibly be a new precedent. And in this situation, I'm kind of stuck, if you will. And let me say why. Digging into this case, first of all, it's sad that this gal passed away due to, if she did know or not know that fentanyl was in there. But in this case, according to the text, they saw the text of the exchange of the purchase of the pills at the time. And it's, of course, according to the text, she thought that they were oxycodone. Then when they were investigating this, they kind of set up a sting, if you will, to see about the same alleged drug dealer who had sold the pills previous. And in that, they went to ask if these had fentanyl or not. And according to the text, they acknowledged that he couldn't make any guarantees about the quality of the pills and that they might contain fentanyl. Right. So he said that current day. So I don't know if he ever said that in talking to the deceased before, but here we are now. And so in this one, this is going to be a weird case. Now, the question is, should we establish a precedent going forward that says to someone, hey, if you sell something to someone and they die, you can be charged and held responsible? And to which I say, let's do it.
Really?
Let's do it going forward. Absolutely.
Bartender, gun store owner.
Hold on. I said drugs. So now I know where you're going now. Now you're saying with alcohol, which bartenders and businesses that serve, if you overserve, you can be held liable, but not criminally charged.
Right.
Tobacco, there's no, you can sell all the cigarettes in the world you want with there.
Mm-hmm.
But in this space, I was thinking this morning, as someone who says, we always say we got a drug problem. We always say, a lot of things like people who have drug addictions. And if there's one thing I've known about people with drug addictions, people who tend to take drugs or want to have some fun, whatever it is that they want to do, sometimes people need to be protected from themselves. And somebody's like, well, it's a free country. You can do what you want. That's fine. I wasn't ready to set a precedent to where, yes, if you sell that drug, I'm ready for you to be criminally charged.
See, I'm on the other side of this thing because I don't think that this is an issue where any sort of you're talking about increasing the consequences for your actions, right? And you're talking about situations where a large part of the time, people don't consider the consequences of the action. If you buy a lottery ticket, you're on the same plane intellectually, as far as I'm concerned. You know, like, I'm not going to do this, but I'm probably not going to win, but I'm going to spend my money anyway. You take chances. That's very human nature. When you have a chemical dependency on something, then that really addiction starts making the decisions for you. So for me, upping the consequences isn't necessarily going to change anything. I think if we want to handle this problem, which is an enormous problem in this country, this wasn't some like homeless junkie lady or whatever term you want to use to describe a person like that. Mm-hmm. This was a much beloved member of her community. Yeah. Churchgoer, basketball, middle school. Like, it's a really sad story. It affects everyone. And if you want to fix the problem, you have to address the root cause of the problem.
Let me counter back with you, because you said by increasing the punishment, if you will, probably won't solve it. I kind of got to disagree with you on that. And here's why. Here's someone that decides, you know, I need to make a little bit of extra money on the side. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to sell some. I mean, you know, it's illegal. You shouldn't be doing it, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways. I'm going to sell some oxycodone and I'm going to do this on the side. And I'm going to sell 5 pills here, 5 pills there. But you know, like, hello, young man, young lady, if you sell that and someone dies or is very sick because of what you have done, you can be criminally charged. Here's what I'm saying. You're going to be like, you know, do I want this for a side job or do I really want to go get a regular job? And when you are selling oxycodone and then you are selling those things and you're saying to the person, hey, you know what? I don't know if fentanyl's in it. That's a problem in itself. And that goes back to... Boy, that is chef.
I didn't want to give Aaron a chance to respond this time.
You're right, G. It doesn't feel good getting cut off. You're right. This is like Ursula's top two.
I know. She's going to be mad at me if we don't get through more stories.
Okay, go ahead, chef. Let's
all right.
Go.
So moving on real quick. Yeah. Amazon has been on a massive hiring spree over the last year, with over 350,000 workers hired between July and October 2020 alone. But according to the New York Times, many of those workers quit after only weeks or months. In fact, the turnover rate for hourly employees at Amazon was over 150% every year.
Wow.
To the point where executives are worried that they will no longer have any employees that they can hire to fill positions in the United States.
Man, it's almost as if Jeff Bezos, the same person who gets away with hardly paying any taxes, has a business that's just running through people left and right. 350,000 workers were hired between the months of July and October, and they only lasted just days or weeks, just running through people as if they were oil, like just burning, just going through it. Mace, outside of emotion and just being upset to hear continued stories about this, this is terrible, man.
It's terrible, but it's running exactly as it was designed to. I mean, this is it's the old frog and the scorpion story, right? Scorpion's going to scorpion. And the model, the capitalist model, is basically exploitation, whether it's people or natural resources, right? You mentioned oil, fossil fuels, like... That's great when that's what we had, but the idea of just digging and digging, eventually we will run out of that stuff. It is a finite resource. What do you do next? Well, what our culture says, what our business culture says, is you double down and you just try and wring every ounce of blood out of that stone that you can. And so Amazon, being one of the most powerful companies that has ever existed, is doing that with people. And for a while it worked. They don't mind the churn because they're just going to get somebody else. But then now the execs are starting to get a little bit concerned that maybe we're running through our resources. Maybe instead of firing up all this coal, we need to switch to, you know, some renewable kinds of resources, change our tactics, our strategies a little bit. I hope that they do that, because so much of what I hear out of that place is turn and burn. I don't know anyone that's worked for Amazon for any significant amount of time who doesn't have horror stories about what it's like to work there. So I don't know. I'm not surprised. It's a complete bummer. But what do you expect from Amazon?
You guys ready to move on for a little bit of good news?
Yeah.
All right. We thought bipartisan.
He was polite with that last one.
I know. I had
it was
pause.
Really. He was like, "Are you guys? We good? We good?
We good?
Look
Bueller?
Both ways."
Bueller?
All right.
All right. We thought bipartisanship was dead, but in a surprise move, no one really knew this vote was coming. The U.S. Senate unanimously passed a bill making Juneteenth a federal holiday. Here's the deal: if the House passes this next year, you will have June 19th off. I'm shocked that the Senate passed it unanimously, but here we are. We at least have agreement on this. Yes, G?
Yes. This is an absolute yes. And if for those who, well, what's Juneteenth? I just want to remind you, this is Juneteenth is a celebration because of when it happened, June 19th, 1865. This came more than 2.5 months after the end of the Civil War and 2.5 years after the president of the United States, Abraham Lincoln, had issued an Emancipation Proclamation freeing slaves. It wasn't until that day on Juneteenth that those in Galveston, Texas realized, oh, we're free. Now, Mace, what stands out to me is this. I think we can understand why it took so long for those in Texas to find out, oh, wait, really? We
right.
free?
Back in the day? Yeah, yeah.
Back in the day, there was no telephones, right? There was no social media.
Right.
Cool. Here's what kind of stands out to me, though. 156 years for this to become a holiday.
Mm-hmm. And you you still can't teach why it's a holiday in certain schools. But but at least we're there, right? I mean, isn't this good news? I honestly, I'll be straight with you, man. I didn't know what Juneteenth was until like last year. I may be a little off, but it is within the last 3 or 4 years that I even heard about it in any way that I remember. So the fact that we are sort of progressing to this point is encouraging to me. I think it's good.
It's definitely beautiful. Had a friend of mine, I just told a story yesterday. Had a friend of mine, Mace, brother, who didn't find out till last year as well. And again, so many things that if we do know or don't know, sometimes it's not always our fault. Sometimes information, if you will, doesn't travel as fast as it should. The same way it didn't travel as fast back in 1865. Coming up next, here's a question. When it comes to private schools, are private schools the problem? We'll discuss that next. It's Gian Ursula with Aaron Mason filling in. Is the Gian Ursula Show. Ursula is out today, but Aaron Mason is joining us. By the way, if you guys have ever listened to Cairo Nights, I call him Brother Mace, so that's just, I need to, the whole Aaron Mason to start, it's really throwing me off.
Yeah, but you can call me whatever you want. Everybody around here calls me Mace. I mean, when G Scott gives you a nickname, it sticks. I can say that.
Chef, is that true?
Yes, Chef, is that true?
Unfortunately.
Mama Kazi agrees, by the way. Just so you know.
All right. So here's a question. Are private high schools a problem when it comes to college admission? We've had numerous conversations about how the SAT and ACT scores give some students an advantage. And we've talked about the issue of legacy admissions at elite colleges and how sports like lacrosse or rowing help certain groups of students get into places like Harvard or Yale. But is the real problem private high schools? A Slate writer thinks that they are. Here are the numbers. 10% of students admitted to Harvard's class of 2018 were recruited athletes. 12% were legacy admissions, and almost 40% came out of private high schools. Is that a problem that we're ignoring, or is this no big deal? Mace, what do you got for us?
Yeah, I think it's a huge problem. I mean, you know this. You can have the best grades, do the best work the hardest, and be the most qualified, perfect person for a position. But more often than not, the reason you get a job or have a role in life or have an opportunity is because of who you know, right? Mm-hmm. And the problem with these sort of enclaves or these groups of these rich, white, private school groups, I'm not saying all of them are like this, but the majority are, that's a very insular group that doesn't let anyone else in. And they want to keep those opportunities for themselves and to the exclusion of others. And I think we're seeing that. 40% of Harvard's 2018 class, you said, came out of private high schools. You can't tell me that that number is representative of the people who could have been valuable students at that right. at that university. Yeah, no chance.
Gloves off for a second. As my sons both attended Eastside Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
Over there on the plateau in Sammamish. And one thing about me, I keep receipts, I keep emails, I keep every single thing.
Too.
So slowly, by little, I will continue to tell stories about different experiences. If there's one thing I learned with my sons going to Eastside Catholic, the one thing that I got to see firsthand, I got to see how there are some, again, I didn't say all,
mm-hmm.
there are some that just don't like things being messed with. And what I mean by that is would you believe, Mason, there are some people out there that were actually upset that there was a percentage of athletes, if you will, out there on the plateau. There was some that were frustrated with the football players, quote unquote.
Yeah, right, right.
You know what I mean?
Yep. That you're talking about that particular element, quote unquote?
Yes, yeah. Yes.
I know, man.
That element. When I got to see that, and one of the reasons why I was encouraged to send my kids to that school is because I believe that private schools are a microcosm of corporate America. That was really my biggest thing. And also at the same time, you're right, Mace, what you said. Who you know, right? That's what it is, right? And so my idea is look, I understand the game. I understand that my sons have the ability to be able to go and meet all those people. But here's the catch, though. If you're not perfect, if you're somebody who's not usually in that world, and you're not perfect, you will get thrown out of that
place.
Oh,
yeah, sure.
Ask any
woman who has to work twice as hard as any man at a job. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know what? Somebody's listening right now, and they're like, gee, well, what do you mean by be perfect? You know what? I got a story for you. The year is 2018, and I get an email from someone at Eastside Catholic. By the way, I have the email. I've kept it, of course. Mm-hmm. I've kept it.
You have a vault, man. It's
I can't imagine
a vault. The library.
Because just in case somebody wants to say, well, that didn't happen. Oh, mm-hmm. Yes, it did. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I get this email, and this email says from someone that works at Eastside Catholic. They say, Mr. Scott, your son will not be allowed to go to the homecoming dance because he was involved in a fight.
Okay.
I mean, that was an email I got.
Right.
I said, whoa. Now, Mace, you've heard me talk to my kids before.
Yes, I have.
You know how I'm not the easiest parent to get along with when my kids are in trouble.
Yeah.
So I called Baby G, and first thing I did was, what in the world is going on? And he's like, Dad, what are you talking about? I said, you were involved in a fight? You were fighting up there? I got an email right here that says that you were fighting. He says, the email said that I was fighting? I said, yeah. He said, wait, the email says I was fighting? I said, yes. He said, no, 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 no. He's like, Dad, I ran over because there was a fight going on. I ran clear across campus to go to break up a fight. He said, they said that I was the one fighting? I said, yes. He says, well, how come they didn't ask me? I said, well, wait a minute. They didn't even ask you about it? He says, I'm just finding out from you. I said, wait. So they suspended you from going to the dance before they talked to you.
Wow.
Wow. So I called back up and I talked to the person that sent me to you. I said, did you even talk to my son? Well, no. Someone said that he was a part of the fight. I said, so you didn't even get his side of the story? No. So guess what it took, Mace, for my son's story to be believed? Are you ready for this? It took, check this out. It took one of the people that was in the fight to tell them that my son was not involved in the fight.
Jeez.
But are you ready for the biggest kicker of it all? I'm not even done with the kicker. You ready for the kicker? At the homecoming that my son was eventually allowed to go through to, one of the people that was in the fight was allowed to be at the homecoming. I can't make it up.
I just threw things in the air.
I can't make it up. And so you might say, well, gee, I don't believe that story. Oh, no, no, my friend. I took pictures. I took pictures. So, Chef, I don't know if that's where you wanted us to go with the story, but I had to go that deep with it.
As you will, sir.
Oh, man. Good to have you with us, Mace. It's always a
great
pleasure.
Great to be here, bud. Thanks.
To be here. Hey, coming up next, and we need to talk. Check this out. Scientists say that hip-hop music makes cheese taste better. We discuss that next. Gene Erso.
We got to get that cheese.
It is the G and Ursula Show. Aaron Mason is filling in for Ursula today. You heard it, Mace.
Yeah.
Name the cheese.
Gotta get that
this,
cheese.
Now, I just want everybody to just sit back on this story for a second and just unwind. So here's what's happening. There was someone from Bern University of Arts. His name is Wampfler. He placed 9 separate wheels of different types of cheese associated with Swiss cheese.
All right.
He put it in a separate wooden crate. This happened last September. Well, basically 6 months later, all of this has matured. And they had a bunch of judges. And some of this music that they were paired with the cheeses, one of the songs, Led Zeppelin's Stairway to Heaven.
Sure.
Was one of them.
Sure.
Another one was Mozart's Magic Flute Opera.
Sure.
And then there was a tribe called Quest.
Come on.
We Got It From Here.
Come on.
Was the winner. Yes, they decided and they basically said, num, 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 num. Tribe Called Quest would be it. And maybe it should be called A Tribe Called Queso. Okay, Mace.
All right. First of all, a little peek behind the curtain for those, those who listen to the G and Ursula Show every day. We do scenarios here on the show, and the theme scenario is a song by A Tribe Called Quest.
Mm-hmm.
Same group, so that's exciting for me. I am very interested in this kind of thing. There are people doing research with like plants. And they'll grow plants and play the music or talk to them. And they have these controls. You know, they'll do it to a bunch of different groups and make sure, one, they're not doing anything to, so you can judge it from. And apparently, this Tribe Called Quest cheese tasted better and was better than the other cheeses. I'd like to know if it, because it's just the aging process, right? It's not like I know it's Swiss cheese, so there's like bacteria growing in there, right, Chef? You're a food guy. That's what causes the holes in the cheese. There's some sort of eating
fermentation,
yes. Going on, I don't know how music can play into that necessarily, but I'm just going to close my eyes and believe it. for no other reason other than I like the idea that music is powerful enough to resonate with anything living. What I mean, it's just sound waves hitting your ear, right? So you get some of that low bass from some Tribe Called Quest, and that and bass moves big through the air. Maybe that actually affects the cheese. Who knows?
Okay, first of all, I just want to make sure who I'm talking to.
Yeah.
Chef Mace, are you guys cheese lovers?
I love
cheese. Yes or no?
Yeah, yeah.
Wait, oh, no, Chef, my bad. I know you love
cheese.
Yeah,
I could subsist off that.
I mean, I could eat cheese. Like, hey, what'd you have for dinner? Cheese.
Cheese. Yeah, that's it. That's all I need.
Yeah. Number, Chef, your thoughts on hip-hop making cheese taste better.
While I would love to believe that somehow the music of Tribe Called Quest can like positively affect like the lactobacillus that's fermenting the milk. I don't think that's actually a thing. I'm going to say one study, no correlation. These are the kind of stories that have eroded our trust in science and have led to mask mandate fights for the last year.
What did I say?
I'm gonna, the problem.
I'm closing my eyes and believing it. I understand.
Exactly.
There's no base, but I'm choosing to believe it. Who do I sound like?
It all started with cheese, Aaron. Everything we've been fighting for.
Now, if there's one thing I want to add to the cheese thing is this. Why some of you guys didn't tell me? By the way, none of our texters are texting in about this story because obviously you guys are just having... I think we've jumped the shark with this story, to be honest with you. But anyways.
Is it a little too cheesy? Come on!
But I think what's happening right now is I can't eat cheese like I used to, Brother Mace.
Oh, it gets Chef? Stomach funk, right?
I can't eat the cheese, and I want to eat the cheese. Me and cheese, I got no problem. Ooh. But now me and cheese got a problem. Can you outgrow some foods?
I think so. I mean,
you can develop a lactose intolerance. Yes.
Yeah. I'm with you, dude. Something happened to me in my 30s. Where I just got less and less comfort. So now it's a little bit like a roulette wheel. I can have some cheese, and I'm going to keep eating cheese, but every once in a while I get stung. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Stung by the cheese.
But sometimes when I'm getting ready to dive into some homemade macaroni and cheese, you know what I say? Mm. It's going to be well worth it.
Yes, sir.
All right. That was this cheesy topic, though. Hey, coming up next... it will be time for three things that you need to know. And also, did you know that there is a tax here in Washington State that you can opt in or out of? We discuss that next. G and Ursula with Mace filling in.